Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. The provision of health services is a critical and significant mission within each branch of the U.S. military. The U.S. Department of the Navy's Bureau of Medicine and Surgery has a long and cherished tradition of serving and safeguarding the health of U.S. Navy and Marine Corps personnel. The Bureau plays a central role in the most effective joint casualty care and management system in military history, a system that has saved thousands of lives that otherwise would have been lost on the battlefield. With us this morning to discuss his role is Vice Admiral Adam Robinson, U.S. Navy Surgeon General and Chief of the Navy's Bureau of Medicine and Surgery. Good morning, Admiral.
Good morning.
Also joining us in our conversation is Tom Romeo, IBM's General Government Industry Leader. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Al.
Admiral, although many of our listeners are familiar with the U.S. Navy, they may not be familiar with the U.S. Navy Bureau of Medicine and Surgery, also known as Navy Medicine. Would you share some history with us? When was the Bureau of Medicine and Surgery created? Tell us a little bit about its mission, and how does it support the overall mission of the DOD?
Al, thanks very much for having me this morning. The Bureau of Medicine and Surgery, affectionately known as BUMED, has existed since 1842, when Congress established the Chief of the Bureau of Medicine and Surgery. And the Surgeon General's title has existed since approximately 1871, when Congress took the Navy Commissioners, which originally were set up to administer medicine and engineering and navigation, and actually made bureaus. So, in fact, BUMED has existed from 1842, and the title of Surgeon General has existed since 1871-72 timeframe, which then goes to this point. I am the 36th Surgeon General of the Navy, but I'm the 40th Chief of the Bureau of Medicine and Surgery. And that discrepancy accounts for the time differences that Congress chose in order to establish what we now know as the Bureau of Medicine and Surgery. The mission of the Bureau of Medicine and Surgery, and thank you very much for understanding that BUMED and Navy doctors and all of Navy medicine supports not only our Navy, but also our Marine Corps. And in that effort, force health protection is what our mission is. Force health protection includes a fit and ready force, deploying with the warfighters, supporting the warfighter no matter what that support may be, and then taking care of eligible family members and those who have worn the cloth of the nation, our retirees. Additionally, we have a new strategic imperative which has come about since the initiation of the 21st century maritime strategy, and that is humanitarian assistance and disaster relief, which has become a major portion of what we in Navy medicine do and what we in Navy and even Marine Corps do. So that is, in a capsule format, the mission of Navy medicine.
Well, that's a wonderful, long and very broad history and mission. Could you give us then a sense of the scale of operations that we're talking about here? Perhaps you can talk a little bit more specifically about your office, how you have it organized, your budget size, your staff, and perhaps a sense of how you're geographically dispersed around the globe.
I think of my office as being corporate headquarters for Navy medicine. The Bureau of Medicine and Surgery, again, BUMED, has approximately 1,000 people on Potomac Annex, which is the hill in which we reside across from the State Department. Navy medicine encompasses approximately 59,000 people. Of that number, 25,000 enlisted, I think approximately 12,000 officer. We have a number of GS employees and also contractors, which make up that 59,000 total. We have a budget of approximately $3 billion a year. We encompass the entire world in terms of where we go. We are involved in every aspect of naval operations, as we say, from the blue side, which means from the Navy ships, CBs, and wherever sailors may be, and also the green side, which is the Marine side. So in Afghanistan, in Iraq, anywhere that our Marine Corps is, Navy medicine is also present. So it is a worldwide operation. We have research facilities located around the world, South America, Egypt, Indonesia. We have facilities throughout the United States, which include medical centers, family practice teaching hospitals, and different hospitals and clinics. And we also have overseas hospitals in Europe and in Asia. So truly, the Bureau of Medicine and Surgery, BUMED, is a worldwide operation. We go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because that's the nature of medical care.
Well, Admiral, now that you've given us a view of the global operation, maybe you could tell us a little bit more about your specific responsibilities as the U.S. Navy Surgeon General and the Chief of Navy's BUMED.
My job is threefold, I think. We can talk about it in many different ways, but programs, that's money, personnel, that's people, and policy. As a Surgeon General, I am the Chief Medical Advisor to the Chief of Naval Operations. I am also the person that vets the medical policies, whatever they may be, throughout Navy medicine, and that includes both the operational forces, the active forces, and also those eligible family members, what we used to call dependents, and also retirees. So working with OPNAV, working with TMA, TRICARE Management Activity, we deliver a worldwide health benefit to those men and women who are both active, retired, and who are eligible family members to make sure that they can get the force health protection I've talked about, and also the medical care that they deserve.
Great. And within your responsibilities, what would you say are the top three challenges that you face in your position, and how do you address those challenges?
Well, the top three challenges are personnel, programs, and policy. Now, within the personnel point of view, I think that we have some major challenges with making sure that we have the right people doing the right job at the right time. I'll give you a fast example, mental health professionals. We need more psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, occupational therapists, and psychiatric nurse practitioners, as well as our psychiatric techs. We are now competing with Department of Veterans Affairs, Air Force, Army, and the civilian population is a universal need. One of my major issues with personnel is just to compete for scarce resources in a world that needs the same professionals. That would be number one. I'm very happy to tell you that for the first time in the last 5 years, we have made our goal for health professionals in our HPSP, Health Professions Scholarship Program. We have to grow our people, and the pipeline for growth is actually 10 to 15 years. We're making those goals now. Now the onus of responsibility is on us to make sure that we can retain these qualified people and that we can train them. So the third thing that I think about is graduate medical education, which also includes research, which is the cornerstone and the bedrock of what I have to do from a Navy medicine perspective in order to make my men and women who are in Navy medicine understand that we care about them and that they have a worthwhile career path.
So, Admiral, one can say that you've heeded two sets of callings. One is as a medical professional, and the other one is as an officer in the U.S. Navy. I'm always curious, what brought you to service as both a physician and an officer within the U.S. Navy? How'd you get started?
Well, I got started because I was in the first class of HPSP, Health Profession Scholarship students, in 1972 when I finished Indiana University. And was on my way to medical school, I needed to have a place or a way to pay for medical school. And that's when the HPSP program came around to my campus. I think it's as much a view of the country in the 60s, a view of President Kennedy, a view of his assassination, a view of him being brought back to the National Naval Medical Center, indelibly printed on my mind. It always made me feel that I would like to be a part of that organization called the United States Navy. There was no one in my family in the Navy before. My father was a physician, but no military service. What has kept me in the military is the fact that I have served with the greatest group of professionals and the greatest group of people that I could have ever been with, I haven't wanted to leave this organization because of the people that I'm with.
That's great. That's fantastic. So, Admiral, as you sort of reflect upon all of these experiences, and I understand that you've held several commands during your career, how have these experiences prepared you for your current role as Surgeon General and Chief of the Bureau?
As a general surgeon, as a colon and rectal surgeon, I've spent most of my years on active duty as a practicing surgeon and as an educator, teaching and training residents and actually preparing the next generation of surgeons. So the first thing is to become professionally competent, and I certainly was able to do that. The second thing is the lifetime education that you have to commit to in medicine also means that you need to commit to those things that are not clinical but are still executive-oriented and are essential to the success of medical care, because all medical care is local. Medical care ends up being between a provider and a patient. That's what the nature of medicine is all about. So I've learned and been able to have a professionally rewarding career in clinical surgery, and there are very few opportunities in corporate America or in the private sector that can afford you the breadth and the depth of the experiences that I've been fortunate to have.
What about the significant advances in combat casualty care? We will ask Vice Admiral Adam Robinson, Surgeon General of the U.S. Navy, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.